I'm the Doctor.
He's a collaborator.
Welcome, everybody, once again to Heroes Asylum. This is issue 67. We're the Order after 66, so you know we're the post Jedi, and we're going to be talking a lot about Star Wars today, guys, because today is the eve of May 4th. May the 4th be with you. But so we're going to probably have this out on actually Monday. So we just wanted to have a Star Wars edition. On top of that, I want to say hi to everybody. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, clicking the little like button, hitting the bell button if we are on YouTube this time.
And, I think we are on YouTube.
We were last week, but again, it just all depends on how, because last week's was shit. So see how this one turns out. And you know,
technical difficulties, yes, unfortunately.
It's a growing pain, and you guys are going to feel it with us. But thank you guys for watching. But Kane is here with me, just like always. How you doing, my friend?
Hey buddy, how you doing, man?
Doing super. You know, had a fun weekend. Got some new listeners or new followers on our Facebook page, which is awesome.
Yes, thank you once again for the new followers who have not heard or seen the show. Welcome aboard, and you are one of the many, many asylumites, as I like to call them. Welcome to the asylum.
Yeah, he calls them asylumites. I call them inmates. So
I call them asylumites. I'm sorry. That's my wrestling.
You got to eat something.
Asylumites.
So, but yeah, thank you guys for subscribing to us. Hopefully, we will be able to see you guys. We do have in June 12th and 13th in here in Orlando. We have an event coming up for our fan group. It's a con, Kaiser Con. We will be here in Orlando at the Kaiser University. Tickets are still available. As far as I know, everything's moving directly positive. So we have not heard anything change on that. But so as far as we know, we will still be having this, so we'll crossing our fingers.
Yeah, that should be part of phase H, according to the governor of Florida.
So was it H? Okay, I thought I just heard three phases, so I didn't know.
It was like a lot of phases, like phase one. I was like, what? I go, what? You're forming the Avengers or something?
Yeah, like, he started the MCU. So what we're going to do, like we always do, we're going to talk about the admissions ward. And then after admissions ward, we're going to talk about a couple of things that I think are kind of interesting about Star Wars. For any of you fans that you guys know, there are these loved to talked about, not rumors, but questions. And, you know, we're just going to break those down. But to start it off, like we always do, we're going to start it off with our admissions ward. So here we go.
News from the admissions ward.
All right, guys. So of the first one, I guess I'll go ahead and let you go ahead. We were talking about the G.I. Joe thing. So why don't you go ahead and knock that out? Because my second one actually has a kind of a follow up to that. So
okay, I guess I'll go off piggyback off that. Apparently, the Snake Eyes movie is going to be the beginning of a rebooted G.I. Joe series at Paramount. So this is not a sequel to direct of anything. Apparently, this is the beginning of a new, I guess, trilogy or whatever form of movies from Paramount.
Yeah,
they're just starting G.I. Joe all over again. I mean, they've recast everybody, and if you look at the casting for the Snake Eyes movie, Henry Golden's playing Snake Eyes. You basically have an entirely new cast. I mean, I think they have Scarlet in that movie as well. Storm Shadow.
Well,
there's
a
couple of Joes in that movie.
If they
as well.
Go with the true origin of Snake Eyes, and this is going from the comic book series, him, Stalker, and Storm Shadow all were part of a military unit together. They came back home. Snake Eyes had the falling out with his family. It wasn't a falling out. His family died. Then the Joes brought him in. To help out. He got into an accident. Then he went to the Kashikaga clan. I always mispronounce it. And then he, you know, was brought into the full force G.I. Joe. So if they're going that route, they can have Stalker Scarlet be there for a moment. Actually, when he loses his face gets distorted, he's Scarlet and Stalker out on a mission, and these helicopters kind of bump into each other, and the blast takes out his face. So like when they find him, he's holding Scarlet up, you know, with his face like burnt off and his voice box, you know, gone, and he's just sitting there, his mouth is moving, and people are like, what's wrong? And they're like, oh my god, look at him. He's, because, you know, he wears the mask for a reason. It's not just because he's a ninja. It's shit's fucked up. So if they go that route with what you're saying for the casting, I could kind of see that going.
That's what it appears to be. I mean, I could be dead wrong, but I mean, if you're going to start a new wave of movies of G.I. Joe, this is probably the way to go. I mean, he's probably one of the most popular characters or noticeable characters.
He's their Wolverine. I mean,
yeah,
if you really want to boil it down.
He's their guy, so.
You know, he's their Wolverine. He's their Batman. He's the all hands on deck. I never was a big fan of the G.I. Joe animated series where they threw off Snake Eyes and Scarlet's relationship, and it was all about, you know, the blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy that, you know, the Duke she was always after. It was always, to me, it was always her and Snake Eyes were always the couple. And I think if they follow through with that and continue that on, I think that'll be perfect. And I think if they also do that with, if they do, like I said, the news article you read said it, this was, the new G.I. Joe was going to be based off of this Snake Eyes movie. But a week ago I had read where it wasn't. It was going to be a standalone. So I'm not sure which route we're going. But I think either way would be fine. It would be a waste of money, I think, if they didn't connect it to Snake Eyes, the movie. It just would seem strange for me.
Yeah, it would seem odd. I mean, if you're going to make a Snake Eyes movie, eventually you're going to make another G.I. Joe movie. I mean, I think that's got to be in the cards. I mean, you know, Paramount doesn't have much on their slate as far as, like, franchises go.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, this will be, you know, be able to revitalize G.I. Joe, which is, you know, it's not that old if you think about it. Mm-mm. I mean, what, the first one came out, what, 2010, I believe?
I believe so.
I think it was 2010, which was, for me, it was kind of hit or miss. I mean, there was some good stuff with it, and there was really stupid stuff with it. And that was like...
The second one was the same way. It's like what they screwed up on the first one, they kind of fixed on the second one, but then they broke other things on the second one. Like, I think the creation and the perfection of the commander in the second one was better than the first one. I liked the looks of certain things at the second one than I did on the first one.
Agreed. Aesthetically, like, the looks were far superior. The story was a little bit weaker, and I felt it was like another Rock movie. Like, it was just basically Dwayne Johnson. I mean, I like Roadblock. I do. He's a cool character, but
that wasn't Roadblock. That wasn't Roadblock.
That wasn't Roadblock.
Roadblock's New Orleans. He's cooks. He rhymes. That wasn't Roadblock to me.
That was Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, that was just Dwayne Johnson doing Dwayne. I mean, it was cool to see. Just do a blank on him. Bruce Willis on there, you know, being Joe. I thought that was a cool throwback to bring. Yeah, because everybody's like, "Oh, who's G.I. Joe?" I remember growing up, everybody's like, "Who's G.I. Joe?" Well, there's no G.I. Joe in the toys I was playing with, but back when you were a kid, there were G.I. Joes.
Yes, there was G.I. Joes.
So mine actually goes and kind of ties into the Hasbro world. New Transformers talk, looking at release in 2022. And again, Paramount is the runners on this. And it looks, from what I'm reading, they're looking at the next date for the next Star Wars film to be set for June 24th, 2022. Now, very similar to the Snake Eyes one, they are not sure which route they're going, if they're wanting. There's talk of either trying to do the Beast Wars series, which I'm not a fan, but the generation younger than me, that was their Transformers to them. So I get that. You have to cater to all the geeks. You can't just go, okay, you kids in the 80s, you guys, you know, you had the kids in the 90s, and their Transformers were Beast Wars. There's also what they did and kind of what they corrected with Beetlejuice, or not Beetlejuice, shit, Bumblebee.
Beetlejuice.
but what they corrected with on Bumblebee is that they showed the original formation. They show them looking like they did in the 80s Transformer, you know, in G1. So there's talk. They're not sure. They're looking at what script comes out first and which one's basically better at the time, and they'll go that route. Again, I'm not a Beast Wars fan. I'll still go and watch it. I'll be excited because it's still Transformers, but I would prefer to see, you know, the G1 take life again and do that. And then there's talk, I think, in connection with they were talking about maybe doing another animated movie, and again, we're not sure on that one, but these are the two we have heard.
You know my opinion on Beast Wars. I think we have met many nights at the Winchester, how much my displeasure for that series was. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it. I didn't like the CGI. I just thought overall it looked kind of like cheesy, really crappy.
Yeah, that was my thing. Yeah, it wasn't so much I couldn't get into the stories because I didn't like that type of animation. And I'm not.
It looks so choppy. I mean, I don't design for a living like they do. They make money off that stuff. But to me, it just wasn't Transformers. It was something else. I didn't start getting into Transformers again until they released Transformers Armada, which I really liked.
Yeah.
And that was like, okay, this is the closest thing I'm going to get to G1. It was an epic scale they had. It was just really, really good. If you guys have never checked out Transformers Armada, really check that one out. As far as the movie goes, I hope they do Bumblebee 2. I mean, they could just keep going on that wavelength. I thought that they did a great job of Bumblebee. They kind of revitalized Transformers.
Yeah, they did. Just in one day, in that intro alone, they revitalized everything. And then you've got the War of Cybertron coming out on Netflix here. You know, that was supposed to be released this month, March or May. So we just, you know, it's there's still a spot on it on Netflix, just not a date yet. And I don't think it would have been the COVID issue because it would. I thought they were done by then.
They should have been done by then.
Yeah, yeah, so I don't know if they're waiting for something else to take place to, for them to roll out.
Well, they have so many things coming out, you know, pretty much weekly by now. So it just could be like a time thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I don't think it's a big deal. It's gonna come probably sometime this month.
But hopefully but, with that it'll refuel that G1 love. I'm a member of one of the G1 Transformers fan groups on Facebook, and those guys, I mean, they love and live the Transformers. Actually, there's been a few of them have like literally been pushing me to go start my collection again. Because you can go to Walmart and Walgreens and buy them for like $15. I'm like, I got over my Funko, my pop.
I'll tell you what, it's
addiction. But
I'm more like, you know, I collect more of the DC and, you know, action figure, 7-inch multiverse DC stuff. You know, I collect some Marvel, but I have a particular taste. But the Transformer collection is a little bit. It's not that it's bad. It's just to me, it's a little bit pricey because there's a lot out there. Like,
yeah.
I think I saw one on eBay, like the original G1 Optimus Prime.
Well, these
going for like that's like from almost.
Well, these aren't original ones. No, these are redone.
Okay.
Reissued ones. Like you can find the original Soundwave out there with Laserbeak in there, and it's you know $15-$20. I mean, they're not outrageously priced. Now if you want to go original print make from the 80s, yeah, then that's where your price range is gonna be. But these are. Redone designs of the Skywarp and Firescream, they don't transform into the F-6 or F-14s. They transform into the Cybertronian jets.
Ooh.
That we saw in the, you know, in the opening where they were more like a triangle looking ship. So yeah, so that's what I'm kind of interested in because again, these are based off of the War of Cybertron, so they're going to be not Earth looking. So that's something I'm looking at.
I should definitely check those out. Yep. Right? $15. You know.
Yeah, they're not too. Like I said, they're not outrageous. That's why when I started looking, I was like, I could probably go that route. So, what do you have next?
Well, guess what? Our friend Gareth Evans, he shares some details about his unmade Deathstroke movie. It was going to be in the vein of kind of like an Asian action film. I don't know if you're familiar with The Raid 1 and 2. If you guys have never seen The Raid, it's a Asian action film, which is. Before John Wick came out, this was the movie that had the best action as far as like choreography and fight scenes. It's just insane. But he was talking, it was basically going to be an origin story. Basically, Asian types, there's going to be a lot of fighting. And you're going to find out how Slade Wilson was created. And this is one of those things that, you know, I'm not a big fan of like, you know, telling how the bad guy got his stuff. But Deathstroke is such a different character as far as his origin goes. Military background. No, basically, he's like the anti-Captain America. That's the way I would tell people if they don't really know who Deathstroke is. You know, almost the same kind of super soldier syndrome. It'll be interesting. You know, the way he broke it down, looks like it's going to be heavy on action. I wonder if we were going to see, like, you know, Deathstroke's kids in there. That would have been interesting. Would have it alluded to the DC universe in a bigger world? I don't know. But it sounds kind of interesting. I mean,
yeah, it does. Yeah, I would be on board with that because, again, Deathstroke's not one of those villains like the Joker was that we have an imprint in. And he's not that over-the-top villain either. He's a very realistic villain.
He's like the opposite of Batman, if you think about it. He's like, they are polar opposites. I mean, one side you have Alfred, right? And then Deathstroke has Forrest Green. I mean, it's literally, they're almost mirror images of each other. They both got money, both are fighters, and both heavily trained.
I think there's more of a mythology to go along with a Joker, and that's why a villain like that is so difficult to do. I mean, I think, you know, he did it just fine on the movie last year, but I think a Deathstroke one would be perfectly fine. That's a retelling you could tell, and I think the audience base would be prepared for it because the audience that grew up with him on as a villain in Teen Titans. They're adults now. I mean, that would be a great villain for them to like look towards.
Yeah. Plus, he did a great job in season 2 of Titans. I thought he was awesome. I thought he kind of blew the Arrow versus Deathstroke away.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And that, to me, was a template. But, you know, it's crazy that we live in a world now that we've had like 3 versions of Deathstroke on live-action TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's wild. Like, you had Mangiello like for like 2 seconds at the end of Justice League. You had this guy, what was his name? Manu Bennett. He did CW. And then you had this guy, La Bamba.
Well, Deathstroke. Well, don't forget about the also on CW the Seed. Aren't they running a Deathstroke?
Oh yeah, Michael Chiklis.
Yeah,
I'd see that.
Yeah, you got another. Yeah, you got another one on there too. So I mean, you got your runs of Deathstroke out there. So yeah,
if you're a Deathstroke fan, he's out there. But yep. Would have been interesting. Hopefully, maybe he'll come back down the road. I think he's a rich character that you can poke him in anywhere.
You can, yeah, because he can get in anybody's business. Because he's a merc, you can use him anywhere. Somebody hired him. Lex hired him to go after Supergirl for whatever reason, or Superman. He can just be thrown in, just very similar to how Deadpool was. You know, yes, they both were they are copies of each other. That is, you know, which one came first rule in you know, a lot of the arguments. I think it was Deathstroke that came first.
Deathstroke, yeah, Slade came first.
So,
yeah.
But when you look at Deadpool was the marker that made it bigger. So everybody looks at Deadpool differently. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd be happy to see that. Now, talking about another 90s character or villain, I mean, he was kind of big. Spawn, Mr. Todd McFarlane. Yeah, his movie, his live action movie, is still in development. Of course, you know, everything's in development right now because of COVID. But he has said that there is a 90 minute animated Spawn movie ready to go, and he's got the script ready. Everything is laid out. So we may see some more Spawn coming down the pike. I know you last couple of weeks ago, you were saying that you had read some, you're reading Spawn. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a Spawn fan. The movie, the HBO animated series was amazing. To me, that's a benchmark.
The HBO series was the landmark for the longest time. Because after the movie came out, I thought the movie was okay, but it didn't go. Even McFarlane says that the movie didn't go as deep as it could have gone.
Again, it's you have 90 minutes to put in so much crap. But it's really tough to do that. The series did it.
So
yep.
Just good. And
if it's had that way, I mean, Todd is still a big supporter of his product. I mean, yeah, even though he does do the, you know, McFarlane toy line, he's still a big you know, member of getting in there creatively and getting it. Yeah, there are main writers that write, you know, story arcs or cover one book, but he's still a big part of it. And I think I can't wait for the live one, but if he's able to throw out an animated movie in the meantime.
Yeah, man, just do it like the series was. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to miss anything. I mean, like the series was, you know, 100 times better than the movie. It just blew it away. Like that first episode, like the intro, the credits, when it walks in and you could see the ambiance of that show, how dark it was. Like you barely saw Spawn. He was always in the shadows. And when you saw him, he was like this nightmarish quality that he had. And I think that's what McFarlane wants to do for the movie. He wants to make Spawn like a nightmare. Like people were making fun of him so many times. Like, oh, what kind of movie is it going to be? You barely see Spawn. But I think what he spoke out of term, you're going to see him.
Yeah.
But he's just going to be lurking in the shadows. And when he comes out, he's just going to freak you out.
Yeah, so. the best villain or the best, you know, suspense ever is not seeing what's out there. You know, that you're, again, don't tell me how to make the donuts. Just fucking do it. but yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to see what route they go and what stories they got to go on. So what do you have next?
Well, sadly, COVID shut down the season 6 production of The Flash. So in a couple of weeks, we'll be getting the season finale, which will be episode 19. But not only did it stop that, it stopped the contract negotiations of one Grant Gustin. He's only contracted for one more season of The Flash, which is season 7 coming up, which is renewed next year whenever they get into production. And he was in negotiations to do season 8 and 9. So if everything goes the way it does, season 7 could be the last season of Grant Gustin on The Flash. Which
I don't think it will be. But.
I don't think it will neither, but it's just interesting how it's kind of halted. I mean, there's a lot of rumors I read. I mean, rumors are rumors. We all know that. But, you know, there were some things tossed out there, which was, you know, makes all the fanboys go crazy, you know, with Ezra Miller in trouble like he is. I mean, he's not been fired, by the way.
No, they're still in talks. Actually, they're actually in the middle of one of the news they didn't put on there. They're talking about recasting Iris right now. You know, finding a different actress to pick up Iris. So the movie's still going. I don't know.
One of the rumors I heard was Grant was going to take Ezra's place. I'm like,
but nothing's happened there. That's
what I'm saying.
That's just people overreacting to that, to the story you and I have covered already, that of Ezra doing this thing. But you've heard nothing from either the chick that he like pushed on the ground or him. So there's nothing. It's just these overreacting, you know, rumor mongers that would just want to do, you know, like, just let it go. Yes, it happened. Yeah, it was bad that it happened if it was really what happened. But when you watch it, it doesn't look like it was a real thing. It looks like they were goofing around. Somebody put it on Twitter. You'll throw it out on fucking social media. It's wildfire at that point. You can't stop it. And then all the marks out there and all the, you know, the trolls are just going to, oh, you see what Miller did? Dude, really? Get out of your basement.
They're always going to toss more fire to the gas.
What it is, and that's why I think that got blown out of proportion with Grant, because everybody wants to see Grant over. I mean, Grant's not my Flash. I hate to say it that way, and I know that sounds horrible. He's a good Flash, but this emotional thing that's going on with Flash, that's always gone on. Again, that's the CW's Flash. That's CW DC. That's not DC to me. I understand it. You have to have it because it is a show on prime time, middle of the week. Yes, you want to pull in as many watchers as you can, so yes, you have to throw the love story in. I get that. I'm not saying Flash doesn't have a love story, but there are other levels and other layers to Flash that we've never seen, and I don't see the speedster, the humorous guy, the lighthearted Flash. I've never seen the lighthearted Flash in this show, except for maybe a couple of episodes. That's what I miss. I don't see that lighthearted character.
You see the broody Flash.
Yeah, and I don't like broody Flash, all right?
Yeah, I don't like broody Flash either.
You know, it's just, and again, I understand what it is. It is a primetime TV show, and they have to throw those things in there, but just, I don't want to see that Flash either on the big screen.
Well,
I like Ezra, the quality he had of that. I'm doing something, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying my best here. And I kind of liked that version of the unsure Flash.
Mm-hmm. So we'll check it out. Yeah. But on the subject of, you think he's going to come back for 8 and 9? I mean,
I'm sure. He will.
We had a discussion before we signed on today. Was like, he's literally the only male lead in the CW universe now. So it's like,
yeah, CW is
the
all
rest
female.
Of it is all girls. I mean, you have Supergirl, Batwoman, Legends of Tomorrow is basically led by a couple girls. So
Other than Superman coming down the pike, really, that's all you have. There are no heavy feet male roles, and ladies, I'm proud of seeing this. But I don't want to hear anybody else go, there's no female-led characters. There's no strong female characters. You turn on the CW, who really runs DC right now because the live action is sucking so bad. It's probably predominantly female. Yeah. I mean, you're talking female, 75% of their product is female-led. Awesome. That's great to see. We've now reached that point that it needs to be a balance now. Okay, let's have a mixture of both. And I guess that's probably what they're kind of doing with Superman, is to bring that balance up. I know, I was reading about it today. Was the Canaries, the Arrow and the Canaries? I just realized Arrow has completely stolen everything from Batman. That is their Batman Beyond, because now it takes place 40 years.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 40 years
in
the future.
It's literally their Batman Beyond. I didn't realize it, so I was reading it today. I'm like, holy crap.
It's Arrow Beyond.
It's Arrow Beyond is really Arrow what Beyond, it is.
Because you got Queen's Daughter in there, and you have like the other elder Canary. So
you have the older Canary playing the elder Bruce Wayne, and then you have – I was like, oh, they did it. They ripped off Batman without doing it.
It's amazing how they keep doing it, and just, you know, they get away with it though. They get away with it. It's they built a universe with a Batman esque character that wasn't Batman.
Yeah, they did.
It's amazing. It's great. You got to give them credit for that, because that's in itself. I mean, you have to admire it in a weird kind of way. Like I do. I mean, yeah, they ripped off a lot of Batman things, but in a way, you kind of got to admire it. It's impressive. Yeah,
I was thinking about that. I was like, holy crap, they did it. They did it.
They did it.
I said they would probably never do a Batman Beyond, but damn it if they didn't do it right under our nose. Well, talking about DC, you guys, we've talked about this before. I've talked about it already. DC is running through three different distributors now. I take that back. We have Diamond, which Diamond distributes for everybody. Then they just, over this COVID thing, Diamond stopped distributing books. And then they went out and DC made a contract with Lunar and UCS. What they're going to do is, once this is all back and Diamond's back up and running, they will still continue to do distribution with Diamond as well as Lunar and UCS. What they're going to do is, DC books will now come out on Tuesdays. So, not a bad idea. That's kind of giving them a jump on their competition. So they're going to be out there. There will not be any runs that aren't, you know, you're going to be able to get all your runs from both distributors if they're out there. Looks like Diamond orders were zeroed out for DC originally back, you know, the 1st of April, 8th and 15th, but they will start pulling them back in on the 18th, March 18th. And there's a few books that, like, will be a third run or something like that, but everything else that's coming out will be first prints starting. So, yeah, DC's pulling in a fast one here to actually have a balance of both or three different distributors for their books from here on out and actually doing an early release. I wonder if that might make a change down the road that maybe Marvel will start pushing to a different day to kind of branch away. Because beforehand, we all knew Wednesday was our day. You know, Wednesday was the day that if you wanted to buy a book, you went to the bookstore or you went online and you know, bought your book there. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. It's a bold move, but it's a different move. And on the days that we're living in right now, it's probably a smart move. I mean, you're going to see a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff that was the norm before, it's going to change drastically. Yeah. And this is just the beginning. This is just the tip of the iceberg, I think, with DC doing this now. Very intelligent move. I think Marvel is definitely going to do something like that to adapt it as well.
Yeah, stand out a little bit.
Who knows? Maybe they'll release their comics on Monday. Sunday at midnight. I don't know. So they'll do something crazy. Maybe Monday Madness.
Yeah. This time is like the time I thought that like the digital comic would stand out and take over and like not take over, but show of what it really could be. And, you know, it still did in a way because some of the books came out. There are some books. And actually one of the books I'm doing for Heroes Pull later is from the digital time. So and it was a change and it was something refreshing. Once I go talk about them, but only DC kept that going. Marvel pulled it, which is weird because Marvel didn't send their comic book groups home until like a week ago on furlough. So I was like, what were they doing? I mean,
just sitting around the office, shooting ladders.
I was like, DC was still at least releasing books. They were doing a digital run of first runs. They were doing the first a new number one for Aquaman, and it was called digital version. You know, it's a new Aquaman, Batman. We had the animated Batman that you and I read. You were reading a couple at the beginning of this, so they were putting out some pretty interesting books. I just think I still don't think that the comic book industry is still confident enough in the digital form just yet.
Not yet. And you are right. This was a time for Comixology to shine. And as you said, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Not as much as they should have.
Yep.
I think they could have really grabbed the market by the hands and really just say, hey, you know what? We're digital. We're never going away. They could have just, I don't know what they could have done. Maybe some kind of big rollout. But I guess with everything going on, they couldn't quite do that.
Yeah.
And that's for me as a purist who still collects the hardcover, who still collects a couple of the variant covers. I'm glad I'm still going to get my physical copies that I'm going to have.
And again, I'm not against them. I just like the.
Oh, I know.
I like the convenience of.
As far as, like, play devil's advocate with Comixology, they didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah. So I like the convenience of having that book. I can take six books with me in a day, and I know I'm going to go through six books. If I have to do that, I have to bring a backpack with me. Instead, I can have my phone or my tablet or something, and I can bring a graphic novel, you know, a 100-page, 130-page book with me, and put in my back pocket with my music too. So, all right. So do you have any, anything else?
I got one more. Right. Charlie Cox was recently at a con and they were discussing Spider-Man 3. The rumors were like, because Kevin Smith, I guess a couple weeks ago came on and said, hey, Charlie Cox negotiations to be in Spider-Man 3. And Charlie Cox was pretty much shot down those rumors, said, nope, if there's going to be a Daredevil in it, it's not going to be me, which kind of like makes sense because we know about how Feige is with connecting stuff. He wants it to be his Daredevil, his way. It's Feige's way or the highway, pretty much. And he's never wanted to connect anything with those Netflix series. If they did, it was barely anything.
Like
same
Sif.
Thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sif,
yeah, that was about it, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like it's going to be a new Daredevil. We know
it's
going to happen.
Well, yeah, there's their talk of bringing a Daredevil in, and that would be the time to do it, is to bring your own in. And there may be – Kevin Smith may be partially right. And Kevin Smith lately has been getting into stuff. I don't know why he's talking about certain things. I love Kevin Smith to death. Don't get me wrong. But I have heard his name brought up in too many rumors lately. I think he's not going to be wrong that they probably are going to be bringing in a Daredevil. But it just won't be Charlie. He's probably heard partial rumors and just was like, and he's a fanboy like us. So he's probably crossing his fingers going, God, I would love it to be Charlie. Maybe if we can start the rumor or start an underground fan base, get it rolling, and let the studio see that, no, we really want to see Charlie back, that we would see it then. But I completely see that. Kevin's been in a few other ones, like the Snyder Cut one. He's opened his mouth a couple of times about Snyder Cut. I'm like, dude, are you in everybody's meeting? I mean, I know you know everybody, but are you in everybody's back office meeting?
I think he's found a loophole in Zoom and he's getting into all these meetings somehow. Yeah. That's what I want to know. Like, well, I don't know how you do it, Kevin, but my God, let us know.
It's just funny.
I want to be in some of these meetings.
It's like if any rumor that comes out, Kevin's name's attached to it somehow. Not that it's like every rumor, but for the most part, there's quite a few that I'm like, really?
Quite a few that have involved his name. Like, his name has been dropped quite often. I don't think he's ever been involved. He's never been a rumor monger.
No, it's just very
weird.
But
lately he has been.
I don't think it's him. I think it's just the sources he uses, they don't have anything to report, so they're just pulling shit out of their ass. And then, just like, I mean, I swear, I go over our Facebook page, I go over in our news feeds, everything of a single one of them are just like these wild stories. I'm like, where are you guys coming up with that? These offices are closed. Who's telling you that story? So, yeah, but, all right, so that is it for the news. Unless you got anything.
No.
Okay, good. So, you had homework. Homework to do.
Yes, I did.
You get a chance to do it?
I did it, sir. I did my homework. I did my due diligence.
What was it? What was your homework?
I had to catch up on the Clone Wars.
Very good.
I got to say, I caught up, and I was very surprised how good it was. The first couple episodes, to me, were a little bit kind of dainty, you know, except for the Bad Batch. I like the Bad Batch.
Well, you had Bad Batch for four episodes, the first four. Then you had the Martez sisters, the next four. So
The Ahsoka thing with the Martez sisters, I didn't like. I thought it was like, I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to bring Ahsoka back in the fold. What has she been doing? Yeah. I get that.
And she's trying to hide her force, realizing that people, she's not the only one that is questioning what the Jedi have done and what the Jedi Order does. So she's seeing that. To me, I enjoyed the Martez sisters for the fact that we went where you always wanted to go. You went to level 13. You got to see the underworld. You got to see the pikes. You got to see the spice mines. You got to see smugglers. The one episode when they're like, literally they get caught and then they get in jail and then they break out of jail and get caught in that one episode.
Only to get caught again.
If you rewatch that, watch the background characters. They're all from the cantina scene in Mos Eisley's. If you look back at the characters, one of the characters, when she's right before they break out the first time, one of the guys walks by and he looks like one of the bar guys that had like a red suit on and a white shirt on white vest on. He was all in blue in the Clone Wars. He was actually a limited edition toy. If you rewatch the Martez one, there's a lot of great fan service in there. The music, the background characters, just all over the place. Great fan service. That's why I love that.
I even liked the episode when they were doing New Batch. I think it was one of the first two episodes where they had Anakin and Obi-Wan on the bridge, and they're basically being confronted by the droid army, and it's Anakin walking out by himself.
Yeah, that was
the first. I surrender.
Yeah, I think that was the first episode, I believe.
Is it the first or second? I just like, okay, this is Anakin. He's like, good. And Obi-Wan's like, what are you doing? He's like, I got it.
Yeah.
And he's going up there, and you see underneath the bridge, all the clones and R2 are down there. He's like, and they're all pissed off, like, oh, can we go up yet?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, because you always hear them going, yes, sir, yes, sir. And then you hear them, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Can we go up yet? And then everything just gets into craziness. And then, like, Anakin, it just shows, like, Anakin Skywalker was a pretty badass, and he was arrogant. And I like the way they make Anakin in the Clone Wars.
Yes, they've done great.
It makes him less emo and whiny, and just makes him, like, you know, what everybody thought he was. You know, he was a great pilot, he was a great warrior, a great friend and all that stuff, and he was arrogant. He was arrogant in his powers, and I like the way they did that.
Yeah, they gave him, I know we always joke about it, but you know, they neutered Darth Vader because of how he was as being young. The episodes 1 and 2 really neutered him, but the Clone Wars series gave him back the cojones. It made him something different, and then you see his fall directly after that. But not only Anakin, but what they did to Maul. That was something that I wanted to talk to you about beforehand.
Yes.
You know, we saw this Maul character. He was broken like so quickly. We thought he was going to be this amazing badass going through the first episode. And then, You know, of course, you know, if anybody's seen it, I'm sure you have. You know, he gets chopped in half by Obi-Wan. And then if anybody's watched Clone Wars, the earlier seasons, we see him come back. He's a robot, half robot. And we see him building up, and he's just after after Sidious. That's all he wants is his revenge on Sidious. But in these last four story arcs, we see a different – we see a Maul focused and calm and patient. Beforehand, it was all passion. He was a full dark side. Now he holds this patience to him. It's very eerie. I think the episode before this last episode was Shattered. The one before that was called Phantom Apprentice. And I think it was – I love the title because it was hinting at Maul – but it was also hinting at Ahsoka, that they're both kind of these apprentices that people aren't counting on anymore.
Almost forgotten apprentices. Very, yeah. Think about that. Yeah, it's very eerie, like how their stories are very eerily similar.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they built Maul, and I think I told you off air, he almost has this prophet-type character. And, you know, like you were saying before, like his calmness and his stillness, I think him being so calm and at ease with himself with the Force makes him more scary.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Like, before, when he was all furious and just, like, fighting, like, you know, just winging it out, it was like, okay, this is, like, another, you know, another bad
guy. Well, yeah, that whole time with him, it was him and Savage Opress. I mean, during those times, those earlier Clone Wars episodes, he was just emotion, just raw Band-Aid of emotion, just ripped off. And, yeah, there was no patience to it. It was during a comic book I've mentioned before was the Son of Dathomir. You see that refocus. And something happened to him when he became the ruler of Mandalore. A sort of like Zen came over him. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's partly because of the Mandalorians and their lifestyle and their culture. But something has happened with him, and it's. I don't see we're going to see much change tomorrow or today, May 4th. They will release the last episode for Clone Wars, so we're not going to have to wait for Friday. It's supposed to come out tomorrow on Monday.
I can't wait.
And I just
when
don't
I get home from work. I'm turning that off.
I don't see much change happening to them. I think their growth has happened right now, because right now it's just that now Ahsoka and Maul have to come to terms and get him out of. Well, he's out of Mandalore now. I think right now what we're going to see is the setup of how Maul ends up over with where he starts his life that ends up in Solo. If you remember, we saw him at the end of Solo. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think a couple of characters from Solo were in there.
They mentioned Crimson Dawn.
Crimson Dawn is mentioned. And I can't remember the gentleman, the guy's name that was the head of the Crimson Dawn that had a relationship with Kira, the guy that plays that Vision.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
His character was in there when you saw Maul leaving. I think it was on not Shattered, but in Phantom Apprentice. He's one of the holograms that he's talking to.
Oh, was he?
Yeah,
yeah, because he was shooting the crime syndicate away. That's right.
Yeah, he's like, oh, wait, and he was one of them. So there's a lot going on. They're showing it. This is the threading point. Like this last arc is like showing like all the threads. Because not only that, but you saw Kanan Jarrus, and you remember seeing the I told you about looking for Kanan.
Yep,
he was
Kanan.
There. So you see Kanan there. You know, he's not there physically, but he's there as a hologram with his master. You know, we're seeing the fall of the Empire or the fall of the Republic. Finally, we're seeing that Ahsoka is connected to Anakin, and still she is really strongly connected to the Force. And you're seeing a different Ahsoka. So you're seeing an adult version of Ahsoka right now that I've never seen before.
Growing up. She's growing up. She's going to become the, what do they call her? Ahsoka the Gray or something? Or the White?
Yeah, she turns into the White. But, you know, it's cool. You know, she's using Fulcrum now. She started using the term Fulcrum. That gets brought up in Rebels. I thought that was kind of cool that we learned that Fulcrum was Anakin's code word. You know, to me, that was like, oh, wow, that's kind of, that one was kind of a cool, you know.
There were some tear-jerking scenes.
Oh, yeah.
One of the ones I saw was like basically the goodbye between Anakin and Ahsoka, when basically Anakin's walking Ahsoka out and saying she sees all of the clones, and they have like basically they're painted with Ahsoka's logo on top of their helmets. And he's like, it took us a while to do this. And then Anakin's like, you know, when they're being called away, he's like, I have one last gift for you. And the box happens to be Ahsoka's lightsabers. Like, I kept them, you know, just for you. And then like that look back, when they just look back at each other, and you know this is the last time they're ever going to see each other until Rebels,
mm-hmm.
when he's not Anakin anymore.
And you hear the music playing. I mean, the music in the background is just beautiful. And I love the fact that they have brought back Ray Park to do the motion capture for Maul. So for those battle scenes on Phantom Apprentice, when they're over that those beams and those framings above the city, I mean, amazing fight scenes.
You talk about a great fight environment. That's one I never thought they would use, and they used it.
Yep. Now that's not Duel of the Fates in the soundtrack. That wasn't Duel of the Fates, but it was something made to sound very similar to Duel of the Fates to give that urgency, that tension, and then you know, just seeing that, and then of course the final scene, the final fight we're going to see, you know, in tomorrow's episode or today's episode, it's going to be that you're going to see Rey again, and I think it's a great nod to him as a contributor to Star Wars. You know, he was never forgotten, but they just didn't have a place for him, and now they have that. And you know, I think it's going to be that tomorrow's is going to be definitely a big tearjerker, because this is, you know, the end of Clone Wars, which is a show that I've loved, I've raved about. But, you know, this is kind of a wrapping up of the bow of the full saga, because now this truly is the end of the saga.
Yeah, this is it. That's it, because now you're going to have all the threads. Like, if you want to go back and binge watch, then you can. I think they have The Order on Disney Plus somewhere, but check it out.
Yeah.
It's almost, you know, it's kind of, you know, tearjerking. It's going to be the end, but, you know, they've wrapped it up so beautifully. Mm-hmm. Like they've closed all the threads. They've made everything connect. It's like, okay, this was worth it. This was worth the 12 episode arc that we got in Clone Wars. And I'm glad it came back. And,
I
think we didn't even mention, I think you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, special effects. My God.
Oh, and I was telling you about that.
They are light years ahead of where it was.
Yeah, it's amazing. You just look at the hair. You look at the background. Like I was talking about the episode.
Especially
where they were
in the ship. The ship where Maul escapes and he's peeling off sides of the ship and using them as a shield. I'm like, my God, that's a movie right there.
Yeah. And that's, again, like you see it, they treat it like a movie. That starting at the return or the reunion episode, it's treated, you know, the Clone Wars symbol, the Star Wars symbol is all now in red. It's a film by George Lucas. It's, you know, there's weight to this. So anybody that's not too sure about Clone Wars, I would probably suggest to add this one, because I'm sure they're going to release this as a mini movie. I would suggest to add this in there. With that being said, and we have seen that, I'm gonna throw some questions at you. We're Star Wars sweaties, but these are some very old questions, and I want to get your opinion. And I'm sure some of these might, you know, drum up some conversation. Some might not. So, first question: who shot first?
Oh, Han shot first.
Okay. Now you're on the Han.
Yeah, Han definitely shot first. Okay. I mean, I'm not about, like, Guido shot first. Guido did not shoot first.
Okay, I just want to
know that they try to edit it like he did. No, he didn't.
Han shot, the original one that we've all seen, in our age, that we were able to see the original cuts, it was Han. In the remastered, it's turned into Guido.
Which I think was one of the stupidest things they ever did. I don't know why they did that. Oh, we want to cater to kids because, you know, good guys don't shoot first. Come on.
Han's not a good guy. I don't know
He never said he was a good guy.
He becomes a good guy, but he is not a good guy. He's the scum. He's at the worst bar in probably the most worst planet ever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that to me, that always took away a level of him, you know. And
I didn't like when
in his redemption and his turning and his coming back to help Luke meant more, knowing he tried to shoot that dude first.
Yeah, he did. I was like, oh shit, he came back? Wow, this guy killed a dude. Like, and he's coming back to save his kid.
Yep. All right. So, next one. Which movie is the best?
Even with the new ones?
We're taking everything. That's why we're now at the first. This is our first May 4th since the whole saga has been ended. So, we have to take everything into consideration.
Okay.
Because there are a couple of questions that have a cover of the other ones. So
I'll tell you what, I like Last Jedi a lot. I'm probably one of the few people who do. I think you like it as well, but I'm still going to go with Empire.
Empire
will always be number one, because it just had everything. It had shock, it had like action, it had story, it had like what, and then it had like just the speaking of the Force, or what the Force was. Like, what my favorite scene in that movie is within Dagobah, it's a quiet scene. And you gotta give credit to Frank Oz too, because if Yoda doesn't work, the whole movie doesn't work.
Yeah,
you have to believe Yoda is a real character, and when he sits there and he's talking to Luke about the Force and what it is, and the music, it just entrances you. Like, wow, it's not just one thing; it's everything bound together. And his explanation that always gives me chills. Like, I always go to YouTube sometimes when I'm, you know, I'm home and I'm, let's just say, drinking some beverages, and I'll always look up best scenes from Yoda in any Star Wars movie, and that one is always number one. But it's always going to be Empire for me. Okay. I like Last Jedi, but Empire is just...
I agree with you. Empire, to me, holds up better. The other ones have their points, have their moments. They are a chapter in a bigger novel. But Empire is the one that, like you were saying, has everything. It has the action. It has the suspense. Has the twist, you know, that final twist that you're expecting. Has a... Again, the downer note. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest things everybody talks about is it ends with the good guys losing. You don't see that much in movies. And you also have the like you were saying, Obi-Wan explains what we've all sort of not known, but we've kind of always dreamed about was the Force. And you get an explanation. And you find other Force users, not just this old man who's now dead, but you know, the kid, but then this little green thing. And just it's just amazing, the turn of you know, probably one of the most gut-wrenching scenes I can ever remember is that scene when Han, Leia, and Chewie and Lando all go walking in and see Vader and Boba there. Ooh, at the dining room table.
Yeah.
And it's like, to me, that's just like, I remember that as a kid watching that, going, oh man, that got hurt.
The torture. It hurt watching. Yeah. It was, they're screwed. Yeah. You knew
then,
it.
Then the torture of Han. I mean, there was just so many things that happened during that one scene that, that's.
The music when Han is finally frozen in carbonite and then it just drops down and you hear that music and you see his face and you see her face, Leia's face just freaking out and like, oh, we could talk about this movie for hours.
So, so next question. Ewoks, love them or hate them?
Ewoks are one of the most dangerous creatures in all the Star Wars universe. They're evil. I mean, come on. They cut the heads off their opponents and play bongos on them.
God, you can't trust the murder bears.
Can't trust them, man. Look at them. Look at their village. Look at their – if you ever get a chance to watch Return of the Jedi again, watch it closely. Look at it. Look at all the bodies and the skulls all around that place. That wasn't just firepower, man. Yeah, no, they're murderers. Yeah. They are stone-cold killers. They'll kill you, and they'll dance about you, and they'll play their little drums on your head. Those guys are evil.
Yes, very good. Yeah, I think it's one of those ones that there was one of those moments that was very Lord of the Rings-esque. When you really read how Lord of the Rings was, it was really about the industrial age coming to power, but yet you still had the agricultural age and kind of in their battle. And that's what I saw within the Ewoks, was Lucas's kind of nod to that kind of story of here's the Empire, this massive machine that can be taken out by murder bears. I mean, it's just... So yeah, I'm on up with the Ewoks because I got mad respect and I fear the living hell out of them. This is a sensitive subject between you and me. This question, I know the answer. We've had arguments about this, and I don't know if you really accept it. But why do stormtroopers have such terrible aim?
Oh God, that's just... They were made that way.
Well, you got to realize the first stormtroopers we actually saw were not clones. Those were regular. They got rid of the clones by then.
Bad training. maybe they were just awful, or they were just made to be just really bad at aim. I mean, just they're the butt of every joke.
I know they are. And my argument is, and I think everybody forgets about this one scene that happens in Star Wars: New Hope. After they escape, Vader looks at his guys and goes, Did you guys put the tractor or the tracking device in there? That's all it's about. To me, they weren't bad shots. They didn't want to kill them. Vader doesn't want to kill a ship full of four little douchebags. No, I want to know where everything is. I want to know their base. It wasn't to kill. It was to scare them and direct them to get the hell off of the ship. So they're
meant to be bad.
They're meant to be bad shots in the first one. Then I think that joke got perpetually worse, and they just continued with it. And just continued and continued. But when you really watch New Hope, you see the Millennium Falcon zip off, and then you see Vader turn to his second in command saying, you know, did you guys put the tracking device on board? Yes. Then.
And by the way, they murdered, Aunt Beru and, leaving them.
Come on.
You got to give them credit for some things.
Yeah.
Left them as skulls. That was a really eerie scene. Like, just seemed like still smoking.
Now, this one, are the prequels great or terrible?
They're not terrible.
Not great?
but they're not great.
Overall, or like individually? I mean, can you say maybe one stands out the bad and one stands out
Sith
the worst?
Out of the three, Sith is the best one. Is the least worst one, I guess I could say. I think Sith is where they started to get their footing a little bit better. And there's a lot of good things in the prequels. A lot of good things. Like when we were rewatching them, we have it at Midnight Movies, guys. Check it out.
That's right. Yep. Check it out on Midnight Movies. Midnight you can go to our website and you can see all of them. We have a couple of guests.
You know, when we were watching it, and I think I was making fun of the meetings, the semicircle meetings, which was way too many meetings, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. You could see that the story they were trying to build there, but it just got convoluted with a lot of other crap. And I think it was one of those things that George Lucas was falling in love with all his new CGI technology. And the CGI is incredible. That movie still holds up. The sound by Bill Burr still holds up as well. I mean, I love the sound of that ship, Padme's ship, when it comes in and out. Everything about it is cool. Like, there's a lot of good things. It's just like, to me, just the acting was just like kind of like too wooden. And then when you had the explaino version of the Force, that's where like, okay, you know, meta what?
Yeah, and you notice it's never been brought up again. They never brought it up. Yeah,
I'm glad, because that was one of the worst. I don't know why he thought he must have been high. I mean, he had to be like, hey guys, you know what? You know, what we're gonna do today is we're gonna explain what the Force is. So what is it, George? What will we do? Well, let me think about it. Let's do midichlorians. Yeah, what? Chlorophy? No. Midichlorians. So let's do that. Like, come on. Like, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. Like, I love, like, Palpatine was great. I liked seeing his rise to power. Didn't like Anakin too much. I loved Obi-Wan. Like, character-wise, there was a lot of good stuff in there, but, like, the stories were kind of choppy and a lot of good things. Are they great? No. Are they awful? No. They're not awful anymore. I will never say the prequels are awful.
Now that we have a comparison from the front to the back.
Now that we have a comparison
yeah.
with the new trilogy, man, the question if you want to ask me is compared to the prequels to the new trilogy.
We got more questions. Don't you worry.
Okay.
All right. Now, next one. In what order would you suggest somebody to watch? I mean, I know you and I had our talk when we sat down and actually did the watch-alongs, and we did it in a certain order because – in my opinion, the main reason I kind of like this question is I was listening to somebody one day and they were talking that we grew up watching them in a certain order. And we think that that's how you have to watch it. But if you're a child that's never seen these before and you watch 1, 2, 3, 4, you don't know where the story's going. When we're watching one, we know Vader is Anakin. We know Palpatine is the Emperor. We already know where the story is going. But imagine a child for the first time watching them and they don't know where that character goes. You don't know that these two people will become the scourge of the universe. So to me, and I'm going to kind of, I guess I'm jumping ahead on you, but to me, I think watching them, if you're a first time watcher, watch them one in order, like 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, up. I just think that we are missing out on a great portion of that story because we already know where everything goes. So I don't think it will help in the long run when it comes to the sequels and enjoyment of that. But I think the first six will add a better enjoyment if you're watching them in that order.
I would still go the OG trilogy way. I would still go 4, 5, 6, then go back and watch 1, 2, 3, because because if you're going to watch 1, 2, 3, right, you know who Anakin is and Palpatine. I mean, you're going to find out who they are later on.
Yeah, but
you're not going to get that shock when you find out who Luke's father is. Because you already know who it is.
Yeah, is that shock better or than the finding actually the shock that child that you watched the first movie is now that evil guy that we're watching in New Hope?
I don't know. See, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you could, like, if you say 1, 2, 3, yeah, you could still go that way too, and you're gonna see this kid who becomes this monster. Yeah, you could do that way too. But for me, it's always gonna be the OG way.
Yeah, and I think that might be the debate is which way is better. For which shock value, you know?
Because it's all about shock value. Yeah. If you think about it, it's like the second movie in the OG trilogy had the shock, and like the third one, the prequels had the shock.
Yeah, because if you're watching it and not knowing, you don't know that Palpatine is Sidious. When you're watching them, you're thinking these are two different people. I mean, after a while, I'm sure you prick up the chin and all that. But you don't realize that until Revenge of the Sith, that they're one and the same, you know? So I guess it kind of in that route, yes, the Vader shock, but I think that was something more for all of us because of us growing up with it. But yeah, that's now. Would you include Solo and Rogue One?
Just Rogue One.
Just Rogue One. Okay.
Yeah, I would include Solo. Is just something that you could just.
You know, Solo's kind of a throwaway. It's kind of like Mandalorian.
Yeah, it's like a throwaway. It's like, you know, hey, you know, if you're bored one, I just watch it. But
okay,
not as far as I would not include it as a story. This is a one off.
All right.
Yeah. Rogue One, yes. Rogue One, yeah, you definitely got to put up there.
Now, J.J. Abrams, Savior or the Death Keel?
Savior for the first, for episode 6 or 7. I'm sorry. Death Knell for 9.
Okay.
I think he started the franchise off really good, but he didn't hit the landing for me.
Okay. All right.
That's my thing. Like the way he laid it out was perfect. I was like, okay, I'm behind all these characters. Let's go.
Yeah.
But when it came to 9, you could tell that he rushed it a little bit, and he was just throwing stuff in there.
Right, right.
Just for to please everybody else. Like our friend Steve-O, he loved that movie. I hate that movie.
Yeah.
Because
his passion for the hatred of Last Jedi
outweighs.
And it's, I think, the love of the Last Skywalker. Was Last Skywalker? Yeah.
Rise of
Skywalker. I think the dislikes of it aren't as heavy as his true hatred for Last Jedi.
Yeah, because that to me was the fan film for the fans. Like, you know what, you guys hated Jedi, so I'm going to give you all this stuff that you love. Yeah,
and there was a lot of
cool things in Rise of Skywalker that I dug. There was a lot of things that I felt like what?
I'm on the fence of Death Keel. I don't think he should have been involved at all. Really, that's why when I hear him being involved in other things. Yeah. I get a little nervous. I get a little gun shy because
he starts off good stuff
again. He does. Yeah. He starts off great, but it's that finish and he doesn't have that finish. And that's what we need to see. Now I will say I'm a fan of the Star Trek series. I like what he twisted on the Star Trek one, but everything else I'm not, I just think for Star Wars, just because you're a diehard sweaty on something doesn't mean you're a good writer for it. Cause sometimes you can trip over, you get in your own way when it comes to that.
And he definitely did.
Now, my final question, and this is a tricky question. Was it Sidious or Plagueis that was Anakin's father? Because now we heard the story of Plagueis the Wise and how he could manipulate midichlorians. I guess that's the second time we did hear about it. Or manipulate the Force, so we don't use that M word. But it's never stated that it was Plagueis that birthed Anakin. It was never stated that it was Sidious, because we never know if Sidious. Now we know he knows how to extend life. He knows how to do something with life to extend it. So which one is it?
It's got to be Sidious.
So you're thinking Sidious?
I think it's Sidious. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, everything to me points to Sidious. I mean, they said Plagueis.
Yeah.
And Plagueis is the guy who apparently taught him this thing,
right? His master.
And in his story, when he's talking about it, he's like, he found a way to create life from death,
right?
And he's like, you know, he taught it to his apprentice. And then when he's saying the story, he's like, it's a pity it could not save him from his own death, which was a freaking great scene.
Yeah.
That opera scene, like, talk about scenes in the prequels that are just, you know, an acting class,
right there.
I mean, that's just
everything. There's a statement of chewing up the scenery. That is a chewing up the scenery scene. I think that in return or in revenge, when he finally reveals himself to Anakin in that hallway, and they just kind of circle each other. Yeah, both of them just great scenes.
And he's so calm too. Yep. He's like, you know, you should call them. Call them right now.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You could tell that guy. That's why he's my favorite character in Star Wars. He's always in control.
Yeah.
Oh, he always has like an ace up his sleeve. He's always like 10 steps ahead of everybody else.
Now with that, that answer that you gave me, if this is so, wouldn't that truly make Rey a Skywalker?
Yeah.
I mean, if it is Sidious and he created Anakin and the family tree goes down, that really does make Rey.
Makes
Rey a Skywalker, makes Kylo her cousin. So, I mean, they were kissing. We were not going to get into that. There's already been incest in Star Wars, so not a big shocker there.
A big shocker there, kids.
But really, when she ends the movie and she said she's a Skywalker, she's a Skywalker.
She's a Skywalker.
So, that's only if we go Sidious Plagueis.
I've always said that she should have been a Skywalker. I wish they would have just done that and stopped. They just tiptoed around it so much. Like, oh, no, she's not. She's not. She's not. Why just embrace it?
I know. A lot of fans wanted it. To me, it's a massive unit. It's a massive universe. Does everybody have to be related to everybody else?
Yeah, no. I mean, I agree. But, you know, this is the ending of the Skywalker saga. Well, so.
It was then at that, you know, once it finally came out. But so, all right. Well, those are the questions I had for you. I thought it'd be fun. Delve in, find out our favorite things, some interesting questions. To see what's out there. Guys, keep in mind this is tomorrow or today, the 4th. Hopefully I'm getting this out there in time. May the 4th be with you, correct? Yeah. And then you will see us on our YouTube channel. We're getting these out as quickly as we can, making sure the quality's decent. This one's going to be a little dark, I'm afraid. Kane and I both are kind of dark, but it's okay.
I got to get a better LED light.
Me too. I'm having some light issues. That's why I had to get up in the middle of the show and go turn on a light. Yes. But again, guys, we are at home. We are, you know, this is just a two-man operation. So, you know, deal with it.
Deal with it.
But make sure you guys check us out on our website. You can actually get to our website and all of our social media links. You can go to streamerlinks.com/Heroes Asylum. That will take you, Heroes_Asylum. Sorry about that. Still trying to learn that one. But that'll give you a link to all of our pages, our YouTube channel, our website, our links to social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that. Our website is now up, new and improved. We do have links to all of our new episodes. We just released the Avengers on the Midnight Movie Show. So check that out. It's Kane and I talking about the Avengers. Actually, it's more Kane talking about the Avengers.
Yeah, Captain would like to I was grumpy that night. The rest of the Asylumites because he was falling asleep during the Avengers.
I was grumpy that night, and I didn't have my my medicine but towards the end of the night, I started feeling a little bit better. But yeah,
he promises for Thor: The Dark World, which will be the next one we're going to do, that he's going to be a little bit more chipper.
Yeah, and we do have we'll have another category, random category movie coming down the pike here in the next week or so. Right. We're going to do, I am going to do a sports theme movie, and just make sure you guys wear your cups when you're watching this one.
Yep. And your wrenches. And traffic.
Yep.
Make sure you dodge traffic.
So make sure you guys do check us out on those pages. And Kane, what do you got?
Hey, guess what we have coming up this week again? Monday.
Monday.
And Monday, what do? We have Mondays called What They Say. That's where we put a little caption of any kind of comic book movie out there. And you guys can just, you know, let your imagination run wild. I think last week we posted Superman and Lois and we got some weird ones last week. We got some interesting ones. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. You guys check it out on the Facebook page. That's probably one of the first ones that I actually posted. We had a lot of comments and discussion on there. But keep that coming, guys. We love the discussion. Those pictures are out there for you guys to interpret. What do you think was happening in that scene? We don't know. It could have been anything. So that's Monday, What They Say. Tuesday, Titan. Last week, we had Null. He's the god of the symbiotes and all that stuff. We have some other cool one. I have a weird one this week, and I don't know if the captain's going to approve, but we'll check that out.
Was it Null last week? Was Null?
No. Yeah, Null was last week.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. I know my shit. Wednesday is Women Wednesday. That's the captain where he picks his favorite female character. Strong. We had a big Barda. Was it Barda last week?
No. That's what I'm saying. I think you're a week behind.
Am I a week behind?
Yeah,
no.
I think you are.
Are you sure about that? I have my folder right here.
No, because last week was Kilowog.
Kilowog, my bad. Yeah, Kilowog was. Yeah.
So I was like, no, that's not it. And I don't know. It wasn't Big Bard. I can't remember who I posted up for.
Oh, you want to post it. So anyway, we post any one of our favorite female characters on Wednesday. Thursday is going to be we put up one of our favorite comic book runs for the past. We did a Daredevil or Spider-Man a couple weeks ago. I think we did Annihilation. Was it Annihilation last week?
Annihilation was last week, yep.
Yes, I knew I got that one right because I have it right in front of my folder. Annihilation Friday night, Titans. Who's gonna win? We had Batman versus Superman.
That's right.
Epic one.
I had to throw the best battle in for Return of Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's the best one out of all of them anyway. So I mean, there's other ones, but that's like, you know, the most famous out of all of them. Saturday, Sci-Fi Saturday, and you put one on there that I had a like I had to give you credit for it. I was like, oh, you put the old school V on there.
Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. No,
that was a good one. Yeah.
Actually, I just added that to my Voodoo watch list, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you know what? I like the remake, actually. I was one of the fans of the remake that I came out like a couple years ago. I thought it was really good.
Yep, I was a big fan of the original, so I was like, yeah, I got to
share. Marina Baccarat, she was the queen of that V series. Yep. She went on to do some other stuff.
And don't forget, guys, this week actually coming out should be in 4 days for a digital copy for the Justice League Dark. Should be coming out. But I know Voodoo's doing early release.
It is the last of the animated universe for the DC. Well, not the last. They're going to make more, but the last, this current, I guess you would say the new 52.
Yeah, because there's a Superman coming out right after that, and it's going to be more of like a different style. They're not going to be doing the 52. This one almost looked very...
I think it's standalone-ish. I don't know if they're going to start another universe yet, but it looked very old school as far as the animation.
Yeah,
it
did.
Pretty good.
Yep.
I think it's called Man of Tomorrow.
Yeah,
so,
it does, yep. So I'm looking forward
different
to
guys
that.
Voicing Superman and everything. So if you ever read Man of Tomorrow, really good book. Really good book. Check that one out. And so check out our Twitter page at The Heroes Asylum. No S. It's an ES, Heroes Asylum. Check it out there. I'm going to post some polls and stuff on there. I haven't been doing stuff on there. I've been slacking lately with the news on there. But I figured everybody else does the news. Put some polls up there, some funny stuff. You guys could comment on it. It doesn't matter. Be nice. Facebook page, Main Area Contact. Check us out there. There's a lovely new photo up there with Captain Mike and his lovely women from the Gorgeous Ladies.
That's right. That's right. Our female inmates were showing love on the other night. A few of them were ones inviting some new members. So usually whenever they get together and invite new members, they like to take a photo directly afterwards. And that's...
You can see Captain Mike from. And all his sexiness in his basically his Tinder profile page.
That's right. Captain and the Girls.
Captain and the Girls. That's his new club that he's opening up in a couple weeks. Captain and the Girls. Check that out. And as always, from the captain to me to you, get to the asylum.
See you, folks.